We have Sunaina Vohra. She's the CEO and founder of Athena Biz and Life Coaching. And also Carmen Benton will be joining us at 1:30. She's from LifeWorks to talk about the early development years that we were discussing, obviously moving on from the midwives, from the baby stage with early attachment and the importance of good bonding through to the older children and how we can help them. And Sunaina is here to join us to discuss that. So Sunaina, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure being here.
And Sunaina, we were talking very much about coaching. And just to give us a little heads up in terms of what Athena Biz and Life Coaching is all about.
Basically, the company that I run, I cater to three segments of society. The first one is I have a program that I have specially developed for 7 to 12-year-old children, in which I teach them things about self-confidence, self-esteem, how to think positively, how to deal with peer pressure and bullying, and so on and so forth. And this is a group coaching class where children come together, develop friendships, develop bonds, and are very comfortable bringing in issues that they are facing daily, and also we discuss how they can overcome it. So it's a very practical, hands-on sort of program. The second is my youth coaching program that is for teenagers, 12 and above, where over a one-on-one session, they bring in the problems or issues that they are facing in school or in college, and we deal with them on a week-by-week basis. I coach them to discover strengths that they already possess, just shining a little bit of light on that. And then lastly, leading on from there, is the adult life coaching program, where adult clients come for various issues, from professional issues to relationship issues to just getting more clarity in their lives.
Yes, I think it's interesting because we were talking to Dawn Jackson from the Health Bay Clinic, and she was saying little babies, little problems, you know, big children, bigger problems. And what happens, as you know, as a parent, when the children grow up, they just have different issues, don't they? And that 7 to 11-year-old, you know, they're just starting to sort of think about the world in a bigger context, aren't they, and starting to worry about how they look or starting to be influenced a little bit more by the outside world. What kind of problems do you see coming up in that age group? What's the kind of things that are most prevalent in people's minds at the moment?
Very honestly, for the 7 to 12-year-olds, the ones who come in with the problems are the parents. So the children are not the ones who come in, but the parents come in complaining about, oh, my child does not listen to me, or he or she just lacks focus. He or she can't concentrate for more than so much time. But sometimes, yes, there have been times when children have come in because they have faced peer pressure or they have faced bullying. And there are times when children themselves feel that they want to easily make friends, and that's not happening very naturally to them. So it obviously stems from a little bit of lack of self-confidence and self-esteem. So that's a little bit of why the children come in and why the parents come in for those issues with that sort of age group, 7 to 12. So through visualization and other techniques, we teach them how they can sort of improve, whether it is with their communication, whether it is... So I had a little girl who came because she had this dream of being, she was all of 7 years old, of being a solo singer in her concert. And she was just very, very nervous. So through this life coaching program, which is called Athena Shining Star Program, I teach these children self-confidence on how to depend more on themselves and their faculties and their internal resources, and to be able to just find more of the gem and the diamond and the star that already exists inside of them.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, the point you made about the parents coming in. So 7 to 11-year-olds, as you say, it's rather than peer pressure, it's parental pressure, because they're trying to find their way. They've had their little baby, they've had their little child, and now the little child is growing up and they're maybe not quite sure how to deal with it. How do you deal with the parents then at that age?
I will actually give you an example. I had a doctor a couple of months ago who came to me because she said she just thought that her she had a 9-year-old daughter, and she said she just lacks attention. And I said, oh, how is she doing in school then? And she said, oh, in school she's doing fine. I said, is the teacher complaining? She said, no, the teacher's not complaining. I said, okay, then where is the complaint coming from, this lack of attention and concentration and focus? She says, oh, I've get a tutor for her. He comes home and she does listen to the tutor. So I said, okay, I'm still confused. Can you clarify? And what was happening was The doctor was the lady, and she was very soft with the child, and the father was a stern father. So the child actually was being torn between both of them and played one against the other and didn't know who she was had to listen to. So it was like having two bosses. And the child was completely confused. So there wasn't actually no complaints from the teacher in school. Results were fine. The tutor was absolutely fine. It's the parents themselves. So after a little bit of a chat, and I did a one coaching session with the doctor, the mother, and she's now a client. And I actually got an SMS from her yesterday saying that she had progressed even in her career through the coaching, and it was actually the parents who needed the coaching at that point. Because parents, when they come to me also, and when they're talking about their children, sometimes the issue is between the parents, and also the parents then realize the amount of potential there is for themselves. So that one, what they understand is as parents how they can improve, and two, how coaching can bring forth so much more opportunity to their current life. So not only has this doctor improved herself or worked on her parental skills and tried to balance the firmness and the strictness of the father and herself being too soft, not only has she managed to do that successfully, communicate better with her child, but she's also managed to apply a lot of what we've discussed in our coaching sessions at her workplace. And yesterday she sent me a message saying that she's become team leader of where she was working. So she has managed to progress even in her field.
I know it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we're never taught how to parent. Obviously, we're given role models with our parents, and we may or may not want to follow that particular role model. So you're always kind of finding your way, aren't you? And there's new challenges every day. And sometimes you just need a little bit of help to a bit like the young mums, just to know that things like that are normal. Maybe, you know, them not wanting to do their homework at that age, or wanting to do certain things, and, you know, trying to get a little bit more independence. You almost just want to be validated that your child is normal.
Oh, absolutely. And I also said in this case, there is this thing about validation. Yes, I agree. But I think the current issues that we are facing, our generation, is I think we've got lesser number of children as compared to our parents. So the focus is always on the child. We want the child to do best academically as parents. We want them to play their tennis at their best. We want them to play their soccer at their best. Everything has to be optimum. So we have also put a lot of pressures on ourselves, because somewhere we feel if the child is not doing well, then that is a reflection of me as a parent, that I'm not doing a good job. So we are putting a lot of pressure not only on ourselves, but also we're putting a lot of pressure on the children. And that is where I find that there's a lot of angst. I have parents also coming to me for another topic. Recently I think he's 10 years old, and the mum has come to me because she just says he's always full of anger, that anything she says to him culminates in a tantrum. And in the same breath, she tells me that he doesn't have a minute to spare. He's running from school to one after school activity, to another home activity, to some other activity. It's also the amount of pressure parents are putting on their children, that we're not giving them that breathing space, that time to be bored, which I think our generation has faced, and it's such an important part.
Well, if you're just joining us on the program, then we have Sunaina Vorga. She's the CEO of Athena Biz. And Sunaina, we were talking about time management and the difficulty that children sometimes have because they have too many activities scheduled into their day's events.
Absolutely. So, you know, moving on to the slightly older kids who have, like we discussed earlier, bigger problems and more things to do, I always encourage the children to follow what they are more passionate about. So it's just like having a priority list. What are the top two, what are the top three activities that you want to do instead of spreading yourself thin? Because otherwise, time is an issue for everyone these days.
Mm. And also, you know, it doesn't do for the parents to be dashing around everywhere as well. And there's homework. You know, homework takes more and more time, and that needs to be done well. And as we were saying earlier, children need a chance to do nothing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Boredom is where all the brilliancy lies, and that's where all the bigger ideas come from eventually. So yes, it is about taking the pressure off as a parent, plus taking the pressure off from the children, because they have to manage school, they have to manage their homework, and bigger children have larger projects, bigger assignments to do. So we do need to give them that time, absolutely.
Now, I know before we were talking about helping 7 to 12-year-olds, and I'm just thinking about teenagers as well, because we were talking about making friends, and you were saying one little girl or one little boy was having problems making friends more slowly than they thought they should. Do you find that if you can put in place good practices when they're younger, 7 to 12, that then when they move on to teenagers, they've got the coping mechanisms?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like I always compare coaching to going to a dentist. So you bring your children in when they're really young and you start to get them to a dentist every 6 months. So with fluoride, with regular maintenance, you are able to protect their teeth and get them to last longer than their teeth. And whereas if you allow the cavities to build up, then there's bigger problems. So in the same way, if you actually start your children really young and teach them the tools and techniques that will take them through life, because I believe all these life skills are for a lifetime. It's not just for 7 to 12. So what we're teaching them at 7 is going to last them till 70, as long as they're applying it throughout. So last week I had one of my batches and there were 3 or 4 boys in that, and they were talking about how we were talking about belief systems and how before we had spoken about it, all of them were undergoing some negative things about themselves, saying negative things to themselves. Oh, I can't play this well, or science is just not what I do well, or some other negative thing. And then we spoke about how beliefs are what creates your positive reality, and how within that last 1 week they practice and they came back, and this boy had actually hurt his fingers and he went to play golf and he said that to himself. So you see, it's just like a coin. It's about just flipping the coin to the other side. And instead of seeing the negative face, you flip it and you see the positive. So instead of saying to himself, oh God, I've really hurt myself and I can't play golf ever again, he said, I just flipped it and I said to myself, I can do it. And he came smiling into my class and I said, today you're really chirpy and happy. He says, yes, because I just, even with my broken finger, I have played a good round of golf. So it was just a very, very simple trick of flipping the coin and changing his negative belief to a positive one.
Now, we've got somebody here asking about programs, if you had any programs for 4 to 6-year-olds. And I know that you said 7 to 12-year-olds is when they start. So presumably you think 7 is the youngest age that people can be helped.
Yes, because that's where children are a little more aware. So it's great that the parents bring the children in for these programs where they feel their child needs to improve, whether it is in focus, whether it is in self-confidence. But the child also does, you know, so when I'm talking to them and I'm coaching them and I'm telling them stories relevant to that particular topic, the child connects to it. The child relates to it. But a 4 to 6-year-old child is yet coming, finding his own bearings. So I think that age is a bit too early.
Yes, and it was interesting talking about sort of internal dialogue, as you're saying, flipping the coin and looking at the more positive side of things. How can parents help with that? Because, you know, often we don't mean to, but we sometimes criticize when maybe we should just be praising the part of homework that they got right and encouraging them. You know, how do parents build up confidence in their children?
In your question, you had the answer exactly that. It is about also making the child focus. As a parent, I'm a parent. I have a 12-year-old daughter, I have a 10-year-old son. So it doesn't mean that I don't ever tell them off and I don't discipline them. But our job as parents is to keep shining more light on the things that they are doing right. So that those things that, oh, I think 2 days ago, we were playing badminton outside and my son said, oh, Mama, can you please pass me this in a really polite manner? And I turned around and I said, I think that was so polite and so nice of you to speak to me like that. I'm really proud of you. So you could see that in his eyes, you know, the appreciation reflected in his eyes. So that is what we need to do as parents. And that does not mean that tomorrow he's not going to misbehave and I'm not going to tell him off. But the idea is, balance it out. 90% of the times, try and encourage them. And 10% of the times, tell them off. Children are, you have to build boundaries as a parent. And you are going to discipline them. But don't continuously nag them for something that they're not doing right. Because the more you do it, the more the label gets stuck. And that is what then leads to teenager issues and adult issues. When we live with that tag, oh, I was always bad at this, or I'm just such a loser, or I can't do this well. Because somewhere a figure of authority, whether it is a teacher or whether it is a parent or somebody else you admire, has said something like that to you.
So how do you, say if you're listening and you've got a teenager and you think, well, with the best will in the world, I was trying to do the right thing, as most parents always are, but maybe they feel that they could have done that part a little bit better in their teenager. They can't quite tell, you know, it's quite difficult. How do you help teenagers and parents at that difficult time to sort of push through and maybe find new ways of communicating?
Yeah, I actually, what you've just said is what a lot of parents come to me, because communication lines are literally broken between the teenagers and the parents, and they say, my child has become so reticent and I just no longer know what's happening in his mind or in her mind. And then what happens is when they enroll, I do like 10 sessions over 10 weeks. And the first session, I get the child to map across what are the areas he or she works in. And then we do that weekly. And I always give the parents feedback, because sometimes I have teenagers who complain to me, you know, I tried doing this, Sunaina, but my mother just, you know, I made a mistake here, but my mother was just nagging me all the time. And I actually tell them, I said, do you give me permission to, because I have a confidentiality agreement with my client, whether it is a teenager or an adult, and they say, yes, I'd be really pleased if you told my mom. So I then call up the parents. So I have a continuous dialogue with them and say, can you now start focusing your energies more on the aspect that the child is doing well? And then around the fifth session, I have a parent and child session where I make the parents sit down and talk to the child and actually present to the child all the things they think that he or she has progressed in over the last 4 to 5 weeks through the whole coaching program. So it's such a fabulous moment, because there's normally tears and lots of hugs, because that is their steps towards building, rebuilding, I must say, the bridge back across them. And communication is one of the key things that teenager years, children are trying on different skins, they're trying out different ways of behaving, and they're not sure themselves and they're confused, and parents are the last people they want to listen to. So when they come to me, I'm a neutral party and they're more open. I've had parents who've dropped their children off and said, I can promise you he's not going to say a word to you, or you can try your luck, and the children just go beaming outside and say, she's asked us to come again. So I always tell them, just tell them you're bringing them in for a trial session. Don't say they're coming for 10 sessions, and let them say. And then children, the whole experience era of somebody pointing at your strengths is just so confidence building, so awesome, that that's what I do as a coach. I make the children realize how powerful, how capable, how resourceful they are, that they have problems, but they also have the solution to them, and they are going to solve those. And it's just so empowering for them.
Okay. Well, Sunaina, if somebody's interested and they're listening, how do they get in contact with you?
I have a website, Sarah. It's www.athena, A-T-H-E-N-A, Biz Life Coaching. That's BizLifeCoaching.com. And my telephone number is 056-644-0307. And I have a Facebook page, Athena Coaching Solutions.
Wonderful. Well, we will put those up on the podcast as well, so people can listen again if they're only catching part of the interview. And thank you so much for joining us today. We had Sunaina Vora, she's the CEO and founder of Athena Biz Life and Coaching, talking about coaching 7 to 12 year olds and beyond, including parents. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And